Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. And with me is Abigail Williams, who is a trial attorney and a nurse. And what we're talking about is nursing liability. Now, one of the things, and when we finished up, we were talking about was the Department of Public Health. And could you explain what their role is in nursing liability and nursing care?
Department of Public Health is the ultimate patient advocate. Their job is to make sure that healthcare institutions, nursing homes, et cetera, are complying with state and federal regulations and their own policies and procedures. So there's a mandated reporting requirement. Certain injuries must be reported to the Department of Public Health, as well as the investigation that the healthcare agency goes through to determine what caused the episode and how they're going to prevent it from happening in the future. Now, once something is reported to the Department of Public Health, the Department of Public Health may say, you understand what happened, you've clearly figured out how to prevent it, or this was an isolated incident, we'll check up with you next time we come to your facility. Or they may say, this is very serious and we're coming on site and we're going to not only look at this patient, but at several patients and make sure that there's not a problem with your healthcare infrastructure.
Now, are there mandatory reporting requirements that a hospital must comply with?
Absolutely.
What are those?
Any concern about elder abuse, it's an anonymous but mandatory reporting. Child abuse, certain infectious diseases, certain types of injuries, gunshot wounds, dog bites. Impaired providers obviously needs to be reported to the Department of Public Health. And again, then any serious incidents, never events, needs to be reported to the Department of Public Health.
Like in terms of never events, we talked about decubitus ulcers. We talked about serious injuries caused by falls. What are some of the other never events?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's a whole list of ones that involve medication. So there's this thing called the five rights of medication. So a nurse needs to make sure that it is the right medication to the right patient at the right time, the right dose, and the right route, and also that the patient isn't allergic to the medication. So anytime that a patient has a stated allergy and then that medication is given, that would be a never event. If you're supposed to get a medication IM, intramuscularly, in a shot, that's then given through an IV, for example, the drug epinephrine, if you're having an allergic reaction, it's supposed to be given under your skin or into the muscle, and it's given through your IV, it can cause a heart attack. So that would be one. It's the wrong route. The wrong dose, if you're supposed to get 10 milligrams of a medication and you're given 100, that would be another problem. Or if you give patient A, patient B's medications, those are all never events. Now, it's important to know that you can be negligent. You can give the wrong drug, wrong route, and the patient can be perfectly fine. Nonetheless, that has to be reported.
Now, the hospitals are required to report. Healthcare providers are required to report. What about patients or their family? Can they file a report or a complaint with the Department of Public Health?
Absolutely. Patients can file reports with the Department of Public Health, and they will be investigated. That Department of Public Health just does a phenomenal job. The Board of Registration in Nursing and the Board of Registration in Medicine also accept complaints from consumers if they feel that there's been a problem.
And they will do an investigation and they will provide a report.
Absolutely.
And many times patients really learn what happened through these reports. I know they helped me in terms of evaluating taking a case.
I was going to say, and for me, looking at some of the hospital cases and nursing home cases, I learned much more from that Department of Public Health report than I do from the medical record.
Abigail, I'm going to have you change your hat for a minute. And now you're an attorney, and not that you were an attorney before, but what you have to do now is you have a client or a potential client who comes to you, and they think that they may, or they're one of their loved ones, may have been, I hate to use the word victims, but for lack of a better word, victims of medical negligence or malpractice. What do you do in terms of determining whether or not you should take on the case?
Well, I meet with a client if they're able to come see me, or I speak with them by phone. I request the medical records. And no matter how good the story is from the client, you know, that's somewhat of a matter of perception. So I usually base my case solely on the medical record. I review the medical record to see if the story that the client or their perception of the care is documented in the medical record. Sometimes it is not, and that makes sense sort of scientifically. Well, I know the end result. I see what's missing, so I know somebody chose not to document something. And then I look at, was the standard of care met? Then I send it out to an expert because I'm a nurse and I can read a record and I know the standards of care, but my opinion does not count. In Massachusetts, if you don't have an expert to certify that there was a deviation in the standard of care, then the case goes nowhere. I then sit down with the clients again and say, this is your case. Now, we talked a little bit about injuries. In our practice, for the most part, if you don't have a life-altering injury or loss, we don't pursue your case. And the reason is these cases take 8 years. It's very slow in Massachusetts. The courts are backed up. And if you don't like your scar, in 8 years, no one's going to care. You are going to go through this exercise, which is very painful for the client and very just, it's an energy suck for them to get nowhere. Sometimes we will take cases because it is the right thing to do, where the injury may be small, but the treatment of the patient is so egregious. It is a matter of public policy, it's a matter of principle. You feel like you must take the case.
Now, do you take these cases on a contingency fee?
Yes. So any cases that we take, the client pays nothing unless we recover money either in settlement or jury verdict for them. That means that our law firm has to front all the costs. If we lose the case, we may have spent years and years and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some of these cases are quite complicated, and we recover nothing for the client, then we recover nothing for the firm.
And in terms of the nursing cases, they're not always cases, at least I find, that are done in a vacuum. In other words, many times you'll have many defendants. Some of them are physicians. What is the nurse's role as it relates to the physician when you're dealing with a patient?
I guess I have a little bit of a jaded view here, having worked in the healthcare system for so long. I don't think that physicians should be held responsible for nursing practice. Nurses have worked long and hard to say, I'm a professional. Don't tell me what to do. I'm not here just to make a bed. I have independent clinical judgment. So if the physician orders the wrong medication, you know, the nurse still has an independent obligation to verify, to check allergies, to check patients. Where the interface between physicians and nurses comes about, I think, is when the nurse at the bedside is assessing a patient and has a concern. Now, that concern could be the vital signs are wrong. It could be something tangible, a lab report, some dramatic change in the patient condition. Frankly, that concern can also be that sort of nursing gut saying, this patient just does not look right for me. And then the nurse's role is as an advocate. They have to get in touch with the physician. They have to document their findings. They have to input whatever nursing measures are appropriate. And they really need to follow through with the physician. And that's really important.
And how is that done? Is it oral communication? Is it a memo, an email? How is that accomplished?
There are a lot of different mechanisms in a lot of different systems. Certainly, you pick up the phone and you call the physician. It also must be documented in the medical record. In some institutions, there's sort of a rapid internet availability. It sort of depends on the institution, but at the end of the day, there is no substitute for picking up the phone saying, listen, I can't put my finger on it, but I'm very concerned. Can you come see this patient?
And is that typically documented in the patient's record?
One hopes.
Okay, so sometimes it isn't.
There's a lot of documentation issues. You know, back in the old days, you had to write everything you saw. And so everything was handwritten. A little hard to decipher. Nursing handwriting is not always much better than physician handwriting. but it gave you a more complete picture. Now we have the electronic medical record, and it's a little harder to get an idea of what should be, what was really done when, what did you see when. The upside is you can't alter a record now because there's always an audit trail.
Now, in terms of the nurse's role, and I think for the most part we've been talking about nurse's role in a hospital setting, is a nurse's role different in a nursing home setting? Are there different parameters? I know one thing, that nursing homes, you don't have the constant presence of physicians in a nursing home facility, for example. And how is the nurse's role in that setting different than maybe in a hospital setting?
Well, you know, in an academic institution, you have interns, residents, there's people in-house all the time. In a community hospital, there are no physicians around the clock, you know, at night and on the off shifts. Same in the nursing home. If you have a concern about a patient, there will be somebody on call, and it's your obligation as a nurse to advocate for the patient and to reach out. Your other obligation as a nurse in a nursing home is if there's a change in condition, an injury, even if it's something that you might not notify the physician about, you are required by law to notify the family. So if you see a bruise on a patient that wasn't there the day before, for example, you may not wake a loved one up at 3 a.m, but you'll certainly make sure that gets communicated at the soonest reasonable period of time.
And does that also make it in the medical record?
Absolutely. One hopes.
Now, we talked about accepting these cases, and I know how costly and how time-consuming they are, and they're also typically well-defended. So you have to deal with that type of issue. When a case is finally put into suit, is there a screening process that goes in within the court system?
Yeah, well, actually, there's two screening processes now. The law has recently changed, and there's a thing called 60L. So before I can even file a suit, I need to send a letter to the person that I'm going to sue, be it a nurse or physician or healthcare institution, and say, this is what happened, this is what should have happened, this is how we claim there was a breach in the standard of care or the care didn't match what it should have been, these are the injuries, and really lay out our case. Once it goes into suit, then, there's a whole nother screening process that's similar.
This is it's Frank Riccio, and my guest is Abigail Williams. We come back, we're going to talk about the screening process and also the public policy issues relating to nursing negligence.